shit. Whoop. What's up?
Little squirter. Nothing big. Doing all right.
I like that shirt.
I mean, what's not to like about it? Looks real nice.
I know, man. Tooth Brain Productions.
Yeah.
It's one of my faves. I got the same one. So what's up, dude?
Man, Olympics are over.
Yeah, but the election isn't. Just kidding. I won't go there.
Speaking of Olympics, I think Matt's off practicing his breaking moves. He's going to represent Ural in the 2028 Olympics.
You know what? They cut breaking from the 2028 Olympics.
Ah, son of a bitch. Did anyone tell Matt?
Fucking bum, dude. Now let him practice, man. He needs to practice.
To get those head spins.
Or those kangaroo hops.
Man. Okay. So, right. We were posted up watching all of it and live.
Same.
I was
same
live watching her. I go, this is epic. This is fucking epic. And like, I'm not hating on her one bit. All the fucking haters out there, fuck you. You didn't think of it. You didn't get there. You didn't do what she did to get there.
Perla and I talked about it.
What's her name? Rachel Ray.
Rachel Gunn.
Oh, Rachel Gunn.
She goes by Ray Gunn. Trust. I'm all on it.
Mm-hmm. So's Jenny, man. I was like, are you going to leave me? Like, what's going on here?
I was telling Perla, because we were watching it together, that it was such a trip watching, for me as a 43-year-old man, that's weird to say, growing up in the 90s, breakdancing myself, hip-hop head, to be watching live in Paris, the World Olympics, where they're presenting breakdancing. And I don't know if you got it, because I don't know if you look at the Instagram or not, but I posted that shit. The very final for the men's, it was France versus Canada.
Wait. Was that the one where they busted out the fucking Method Man song?
Yes. I turned to Perla and I was like, and I even posted it the same way too. The 15-year-old in me just died. Because I'm watching breakdancing as an Olympic sport played to the soundtrack of fucking Method Man. Like,
bro, and you got them fucking battle dancing. Like, homegirl from Ukraine cutting the chick's throat every time she finishes a move.
Yeah.
They were serving each other. Yeah. I was in it, too. They cleared 200 songs.
300, actually. 300.
Was it three?
300, fuck, yeah.
Dude. Found myself sound hounding up against the speaker on a few of those Samba tracks out in Brazil. Like, I was like, this shit is banging,
dude. It was nuts. And the fact that, you know, the 2028 Olympics are going to be here in the States, California specifically, I believe. Mm-hmm. I was like, dope. I know what we're going to go see when the Olympics come to town. And they fucking cut it, man.
That was decided a couple years ago before the event ever took place.
I'll tell you this. I didn't watch a lot of the Olympics, but I probably watched more than I usually have. And I think it's just because of the sports. And I think the two that I gravitated towards the most, the second is rugby. Cause I've always had an affinity for rugby. I've never found the time to like commit to it, to like find out when the seasons are, the clubs, all that shit.
You just want to watch sevens, rugby sevens. And the only reason why I say that is it's so fast moving that it's hard to lose interest or like if for it to wane. You get 7 minutes aside. So 14 minutes, game's over.
No, see, I don't think I want that. I think I want the full game experience. I think it, because I think about it, I've been watching Formula One for like 3 or 4 seasons now, right? So some of the executives at work got me into it. So like,
fancy,
but I know, right? And I got into it. And so I don't know if you know this about me, but I like to kind of, you know, dabble in things that are not very popular. Now, that I'm not saying that Formula One isn't popular, because fuck that, right? And I'm not saying that rugby isn't popular either. I'm just saying it's not so common here stateside, and I'm not looking for it specifically for that reason, but it is a big allure for me. So I just haven't had the time to like figure out when the games play, when the seasons are, like when, like it's like double dutch. Like I'm trying to find my in on rugby, you know? So when it was in the Olympics, I was like, oh, let me watch. And then I was like, yeah, I definitely need to be like more, you know, find the ins and outs of this sport because it's fucking dope.
Pretty sure they run sevens though in the Olympics.
Got it.
I think it's just rugby sevens. Anyways.
All right, whatevs.
Definitely worth watching. I told you my first experience with rugby, right?
Maybe.
It was when we were in London. I think we were waiting for Fuck You Freddy to come up to the room. And we're hanging out, just watching TV, drinking some beers, like sitting on the bed of, you know, whoever's room we were in. May have been Tony's. I don't know. And fucking rugs on. This dude took this like hit. Goes to the sideline. They wrap like three little like things of gauze around his face. The blood's still gushing and he's back in the game like next.
Yes, I do remember that.
And you... that's why you're still hunting that feeling.
I know, probably. Man. I got to tell you something. I've been excited to tell you about it. I fixed one of the classic iPods that I have.
What?
And I've been running.
One of the click wheels on
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm. The fifth
Not
gen.
The buttons one. At the top, right?
No, okay, no, okay. No. The no, fifth gen.
Nice.
Fifth gen and 80 gig. The screen's busting nice. On it though. Wow. Don't work. So luckily I remember how to get to like shuffle all the music. So I tested it after I fixed it and it works. It started playing music. But then I realized if I plug this thing into my car, I can get my the menu on the on-screen dash or whatever. And that's exactly how it works. So I can totally navigate it. And I got to tell you, I don't know if it's just me, if I'm tripping or I'm being a little nostalgic, but that music sounds so much better coming from the iPod than it does coming from like my cell phone on Spotify or Apple Music or something like that. It just hits harder. Everything is deeper. It, yeah, dude, it's dope.
I've got a couple of them and I keep one plugged into the garage and that's how I like play music in the garage. It's just
yeah.
But like, I always freak out. I'm not going to find a 30 pin connector.
I got an extra one. I bought two of them on Amazon for like $5.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah. And it's like a 6 foot cable too. So like it'll reach.
I never seen a 6 foot one back in the day.
I know. What are we doing here, dude?
What are we doing? Oh, fucking feed me, bro.
Feed me, Seymour. Like that?
No, not that one.
Oh,
not that one. This is a movie that's actually based on a true story.
So anytime Perla sees that on the screen, it's all eyes on the screen. She loves shit that is based on true stories, man. So as soon as she saw that, she was like, I'm in.
Yes, yes. The story of Armin Moose.
I didn't look into it, so I figured you would. So that's going to be good.
Hell yeah.
Okay, so tonight, the monsters are running amok. And we head towards that theater. Where the marquee now reads, Feed Me.
Thank you all for coming today. I know Liv would be astonished just to see this many people in one room for her.
Hey, buddy, can I get you a drink?
Who are you?
Lionel Flack, a man of many talents.
All that weight you're carrying?
What if I said I could take it all away?
So what are you saying?
Consensual human consumption.
So... you want to eat me?
That is exactly what I'm saying.
L'chaim! L'chaim!
Over the course of our time together, my job is to make sure you're happy. And at any point you're in pain or in discomfort, you just need to let me know.
My mama encouraged me to pursue photography.
You know, I kind of had a knack for erotica and abstract exoticism.
You ready?
How do you feel?
Lighter.
So, is there a Mrs. Flag?
She lost her head and went cold on me.
Because you don't know what you have until it's actually gone.
Jed, you've got me.
I mean, there's nothing more beautiful than a man's relationship with his food.
Hey, Lionel, don't be ashamed of what you are. We all like what we like. So, are you into anything weird?
I like skin.
Crispy chicken skin? I know what you mean.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a beautiful baby boy.
There comes a time in every man's life where he unexpectedly finds himself in a hole.
You're nothing more than a predator.
You came here to die, Jed.
You are a coward.
Say that again. I dare you.
This is the best veal I have ever tasted.
This is not veal. This is Michelin star veal.
A 2022 horror comedy directed by Adam Leder and Richard Oakes.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it also stars a couple people I want to call out right off the top. So, in the very beginning here, we have Jed Freeman, who's our main character, played by Christopher Mulvin. Mm-hmm. Then we also have his wife, Samantha Loxley. Jed Freeman is the main character, his wife, Olivia Freeman. Jed is played by Christopher Mulvin, and then Olivia is played by Samantha Loxley. And then it kind of involves the other main character, who's like, I don't know, like co-main character, whose name is Lionel Flack in the movie, but his real name is Neil Ward. And I'm going to want to talk about those guys in particular, but yeah.
Well, dude. I mean, like 75% of the movie is those three people.
Yeah. And it was so good.
Yeah. Fucking way good.
Okay. So here's the thing. I've never known about this movie ever. I was at Big Lots like a week or two ago, and the location that we were at is going out of business. So they're like, hey, everything's for sale. So Perla and I walk in there just to see what they got, and they have this whole section of DVDs, and I'm like, okay, let's go. Let's see what we got. And that's where I picked this up. It was like $2.
$2 Chuck?
Hell yeah.
It'll get you fucked up.
Never heard of it. Wasn't familiar with any of the people on the back of the box, but it looked cool, right? It came in its little protective sleeve. So I'm like, this is a cool little come up for $2.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you knew that it was British, you might have not. I only say that because you're not a fan of the Queen's tongue.
That's not all the way true. I'm not a fan of period pieces.
Like Shark Week or something?
Well, that either. But more so like, because you know why though, right? It's because their blood attracts bears.
Oh.
Sorry, it's Anchorman reference. I was waiting for you to get it. No, I'm not a fan of like, you know, gothic middle century, whatever, like Downtown Abbey type stuff. Not a fan. Okay. Not a fan. Okay. And most of that stuff is in the Queen's tongue. So.
Okay. Well, that and like. Basically, all of like history is done in the English tongue, right? Like, if you go watch Rome, they're gonna all be like British accents, and you're like, but they should be Italian accents, but see, they're not. It's British.
I can get behind some of that stuff, like Gladiator. You know what I mean? Or you know, because it's more action than like dramatic. But even then, like, I don't know. It's just not my cup of tea. You see what I did there? The Guy Ritchie stuff, right? So Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, stuff like that. I love all
the
that
gentleman
shit.
Dude, have you watched this Gentleman?
No, series? Not yet.
Dude, it's pretty fucking good.
That stuff is more my speed, and it has nothing to do with the fact that it's British or of European descent. It's just more my style. But all that other stuff, I just... No, that's not my thing.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. And I'll edit the fuck out of it.
It's all good.
Well, the funniest part is I say I'm going to edit it and then I won't.
I know. That's why I'm just telling you, don't worry about it. No, this movie. Okay, so I didn't know it was British, but it didn't matter, right? Actually, here's the thing. When we started watching it and I realized it was British, it was a pleasant surprise. I don't know why. It just was.
It's funny because when you watch the trailer, the main character, Lionel Flack, comes across as an American, and he's very feels like it's an American flick. Big belt buckle type American flick.
Yeah.
And you're right. I was surprised too.
He reminded me of like, for a split second, the character Lionel Flack, who's played by Neil Ward, in the trailer, I was like, is that Jason Sudeikis?
100%. That's why Jenny was like, I'll watch it, because she fucking loves Ted Lasso. Like, we watched the fuck out of Ted Lasso. So then I was like, well, what year did Ted Lasso come out? Oh, 2020, and this is 2022.
Yeah.
So it's, I feel like it's not unintentional.
It's not impossible or implausible that this would kind of fall in line.
Absolutely. I felt the exact same thing. And in fact, like, Jenny was like, I'll bet you it's him. And I was like, it's not. Like, I just saw IMDb, unless they're fucking lying.
but then, it's not.
But then I'm watching the movie, and like, I'm not giving anything away here, but later on in the movie, Neil Ward looked just like Giovanni Ribisi.
Oh, interesting.
And then I was like watching a little bit more, and it, like, I saw like Paul Giamatti in a scene. And then like, I'm looking at his IMDb and looking at a couple pictures of other movies he's been in, and he looks totally different there. Hey, Neil Ward, good job, dude. Like, you can create a completely different look within the same movie. And I was engaged, and it felt like it was a different turn of emotion within the character when you look different too.
That makes me want to tell you what I have to say, but I don't want to say it till we get to that point of the movie.
Oh, I love when I hear that.
Okay. So, well, let's talk through it, right? That's why the people are here. They don't have time to watch this movie. So we're going to walk you through it. Give us a synopsis on the movie, Reedy.
Oh man, dude is heartbroken after the death of his wife. He's spiraling like no other and looking for some type of comfort. And that comfort he finds in a random American who has a proposition on how he can lighten the load.
Okay, I'll take it. So where does this movie stem from? Because it said it was based on a true story, and I didn't look into it. So I'm going to have you fill me in.
Yeah, so the story, it's loosely based on an event that took place in 2001 in Germany. A guy by the name of Armin Muss. I had to Google how that's actually pronounced. So it does not spell that way, but it's pronounced that way.
Is this going to give the movie away?
Yes.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning of the movie, and then we'll talk about how this is a true story. The movie opens up with our main character, Jed Freeman, again played by one Christopher Mulvin. And what we see is him in like some hospital gown, like super bloody, trying to make his way to like a door. And then there's like a little bit of a flash of like, kind of a rundown room, all dark and scary. And then it cuts to night and we see a couple bobbies rolling up on a house. Did I say that right?
Yeah. You coppers, bobbies.
Coppers. I'm just going to go with cops. I'm going to stop myself right there. So these cops are called to this house. They're trying to get in, but no one's answering. The house is super fucking dark. As they're trying to break in, they're listening to somebody leaving a voicemail on the answering machine, which, kudos for you, in 2022, you still have a fucking answering machine. So they finally make their way in, and it's that whole thing of like, you know, when something's been dead in a room or a house for a really long time and no one's gone in there to check. They're like gagging, they're coughing, they're trying to figure out what's happening. They're listening to Jed leave a message, because that's who's leaving the message. It's Jed. He's drunk. He's like pleading for her to come back to him. We don't really
need me.
Yeah, basically. I love you. And then the cops make their way upstairs only to find what presumably is a dead body. And I gotta say, I don't know how much of this movie is like computer generated images, right? CGI. But this part where all the flies are flying around was very CGI, and it, like, you could tell. So there was a second where I was like, is it gonna be like this the whole movie? Because it was a little distracting. But I will say, it's not like that. The rest of the movie is fucking clean, and I loved every second of it.
Can I also say that was my least favorite part? And with that, the scene, though, felt very much like Sloth in Seven.
Yeah, right? It's like cold,
like I expected
dark.
A whole bunch of fucking Christmas tree air fresheners to be hanging from the ceiling. And
yeah. But what we've... So they find the dead body, and then they cut to the cops talking to Jed, in giving him the news, and like he's breaking down crying. And I turned to Perla and I was like, what a perfect, not a perfect alibi, but that's a good alibi, right? Like, I'm not going to discount this guy as being like the guy who didn't murder her, because they just happened to walk in and he's leaving a voicemail about, hey, come back to me, you know, stop being so distant. It's like, okay, well, it wasn't that guy, right? Because, you know, he's trying to get her back. So I was like, I'm not going to discount him. But also, like, he's don't really know how she died. They didn't show the body. So, like, it's a little bit of a mystery so far. Cut to the funeral. He's delivering the eulogy.
Thank you all for coming today.
And then we cut to a flashback because he's talking about some of the struggles that they've had over the last couple years. This is where we find out that they're actually married, but they're separated. And he's, you know, talking shit about how much she's eating or not.
You're not hungry.
I ate something before.
Please, Liv, let's just not do this.
I'm not hungry.
And like that seems to trigger her. She gets all pissed off and, you know, she runs out and he just wants to come back home. And so I still hadn't picked it up at that point. Good call out there that, you know, the dieting was a trigger for her. And then it kind of fast forwards in the flashback to her calling him from the bathroom where the toilet is filled with vomit and she's over it. And it's like, okay, now I get it. She's bulimic. She has a eating condition. It's probably causing some separation between them. And like, they're just not connecting. And, you know, I guess his dad had the same problem. And so he's just trying to relate to her, right? It's his wife. He's trying to meet her halfway. He's trying to meet her where she's at. And she's just not having it. And they were distant.
I felt like she was spiraling out of control and it's like he wasn't being empathetic and that kind of drove a wedge between the two of them.
But he does, he talked,
you know, exactly what I went through with my dad. So don't tell me that I don't understand people like you.
Dad had the similar problems and he'd been through that process with his dad. So like, you know, he was like, come on, I can do this. But
yeah, but how empathetic are you when you're at dinner being like, well, why aren't you eating?
I don't think he called her out.
Eat your fucking steak, bitch. No, he didn't say that.
No, I think it was more so like, oh, I'm glad to see that you're eating a little bit more or something. And that kind of just went not the way he planned. Yeah.
Shut the fuck up, dude. Be like a good married man and just shut the fuck up.
So we cut back to the funeral and we see this guy sitting in the pew who's got a cowboy hat on. It's got them Jeffrey Dahmer glasses on. It's got this long blonde hair. He's wearing kind of like a Jimmy Buffett shirt, but with like a sport coat over it. Like, don't really know what to make of this dude, right? And he doesn't look like he fits in. And this is our co-main character, Lionel Flack, played by the one Neil Ward. And I gotta say, his deliverance on this character was fucking awesome. And he's a seasoned actor, right? He grew up like attending art schools and film schools and stuff like that. So like the dude has some experience under his belt and you could totally tell because he sold this character. And I think it's like throughout the movie, it's these small little twitches in like facial gestures that he does that if you're not watching specifically, you won't catch it. Mm-hmm. But it's those subtle differences that really fucking make it stand out.
It's funny you mentioned those little twitches and things because I attributed some of that to the fact that he's got this long hair kind of in his face. He's wearing glasses that are oversized. And it was like he was trying to like keep it all on, you know, like they're going to slip off his face a little bit. You know, you do little nose twitch to keep your glasses on.
Yeah, yeah. So he just gets up in the middle of the eulogy and he leaves, right? And then we cut to the bar and now Jed is at the bar and he's kind of drowning his sorrows. And then, sure enough,
hey, buddy, can I get you a drink?
Who are you?
Lionel Flack, entrepreneur, confidant of many, a man of many talents. Friends call me Lie.
They start chatting and they're just kind of talking about who she was, how she died. She ended up starving herself. Her stomach exploded. She starved herself to death is what he says to him. And this is kind of where we start to find out that Jed is sliding into a depression himself, right? He's getting a little sad and his whole world has been removed from beneath him, right? It's his wife. You get the impression he doesn't have a lot of people and he's not really knowing how to handle it all.
Well, thank goodness for this extrovert Lionel who shows up, talks to him about like how delicious liquids are through a champagne flute.
See, where I'm from, a couple of blocks away was this discount store. Sold all sorts of shit. But the only glasses they ever sold were these cheap champagne flutes. Which is convenient, though, because my mama, God rest her soul, had a love-hate relationship with champagne of all things. Now, here's the interesting part. Your average cup?
Average cup?
Highball, Demetasi Collins glass, whatever. I realized that nothing fulfills and quenches one's thirst the same way as a champagne flute does. Whatever the beverage. Fruit juices in particular, especially when chilled.
He does go out of his way because he brought his own champagne glass to the bar and he filled it up with water and he was drinking water and then
ferociously.
Yeah. Fucking pounded, just dude. Like, just crushing waters. So at this point, they're just getting to know each other. And so Jed's like, what do you want, dude? Like, who are you? What do you want? And this is where Lionel tells him, like,
all that weight you're carrying. What if I said I could take it all away? All of it.
And I didn't really catch exactly what he was talking about right away until they disband. And we see Lionel at home. We see Jed at home. And like, he's just not having a good time of it all.
While Jed's in his hit of despair, the card actually calls to him. It's like, hey. It's like a girl's voice.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Which well, no, I thought was a sweet touch.
I think that's important because his wife, who is played by Samantha Loxley, Olivia, spoiler alert, she starts to kind of bleed into his reality. He starts to see her in places. So I think that is the very first like instance where he is seeing and or hearing her kind of bleed through from the other side.
The first Tyler Durden appearance.
Yeah. Okay, so like he calls Flack.
What can I do for you, Jed?
And he's like, I'm going to take you up on your offer. And for a second, I was like, but what was the offer? He's just offered to like help him feel better. And then Lionel's like,
you know what I do, Jed?
Assisted suicide.
Jed, listen to me.
You're a good man. But when you see her again,
and you will see her again, you have got to radiate happiness, brother.
Now, I promise you that by the end of our journey,
you'll be lying in a state of total bliss, with so much unconditional love for yourself that you'll be laughing all the way to the pearly white gates.
But then he starts talking about cannibalism.
Jed, have you heard of the Yurikin tribe?
They are a collective of enlightened individuals that bask in a state of permanent euphoria.
Now, this is achieved by way of
consensual human consumption. A direct connection with the universe herself.
Wait. So, what are you saying?
It just so happens, Jed,
that I share the same taste for both sheep
and my fellow man.
So, you want to eat me?
I don't think he came out and said that it per se, or maybe he did. I don't remember.
I thought he was very direct.
Was he?
Just like laid it right out there, clean and direct. Like, no way you're going to miss what I'm talking about.
Sure. Why not?
Let's do it.
And so Jed goes to bed and has this wild dream where he's like walking up on a dinner table with his wife sitting there, and she's got like, he like rips his heart out of his chest to give it to her. And it's this real weird dream sequence. But again, kind of setting the foundation for the fact that like she's going to start kind of bleeding into parts of the movie.
And he was in love with her. Like, I think that the kind of just shows like he was deeply in love with her. He would have gave her a heart.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, to the point where like he doesn't even feel like he can go on living without her. Yeah. Where he doesn't care if he's going to die, if someone's going to eat him, like he doesn't give a shit. And the scene is him ripping his heart out of his chest and putting it on her plate and then her picking it up and starting to eat it, to me, which signifies that like he was all in with her and gave her his all and she's gone and he's got nowhere to like replace that stuff.
I was also looking at it like that. This is the start of her accepting his fate, his new fate.
Hmm.
I would eat your heart, so let someone else eat it.
Oh, interesting. Well, we also, this is also the first time that we get to see Lionel's place.
And oh my God.
This place, I don't even know how to describe it. It is newspaper all up on the windows. It is like a hoarder's house, but with less stuff.
With no clutter. It's a hoarder's house with no clutter.
Yeah, it's weird.
Crazy as fuck, because there is not a fucking square inch of cleanliness in the entire place. I wrote in my notes, I was like, at what point do you consciously make the decision not to wipe the fucking wall? Like, you make the decision to like pick up and put things away, but you don't like wipe the wall when you're done.
Okay. So at this point, we've established the fact that he's a cannibal, right? And there are scenes later of like the bathrooms and the sinks and like nothing is washed out. It's all this dry blood everywhere. And I got to wondering, I'm like, is it like a cast iron skillet to keep your bathtub with like dry blood in it? Where like it just adds to like the flavor of the next thing you're cooking in there. You know what I mean?
The blood type of the previous.
Yeah. Like, oh, I just had this O negative. That's like my, oh. My whole bathtub is like lined with O negative, and I'm going to bring this guy. And then I'm going to like get some. Positive. Yeah. And just get that like mixture, you know?
It wasn't even like blood wall to wall.
That's true.
I just thought it was just fucking gross. Like just next level gross.
Yeah. Do you remember what he had at the dinner table though?
Yeah. A dead body, like a headless body.
I was going to say not just a dead body, but a headless body of a female.
Yeah.
And in when he hangs up the phone, he's like super giddy at the fact that like, he's going to be eating this dude.
Oh yeah. And I mean, come on. Like, how many people do you hit up and finally get a yes?
Hey man, it only takes one.
That's right.
So that is where we jump into the dream sequence. And then when he wakes up, we cut to Neil walking through the park. This is where he's in his raincoat. He comes up on this bridge and there's just some woman that's there feeding the fish. Her name is Alex, played by Hannah Al Rashid, and she's just there chilling, feeding the fish, and they start strike up a conversation.
No ducks here.
Sorry, what?
This pond has no ducks.
Oh no, I know. I'm here for the fish. Oh, I know. Sounds crazy, right?
And here's the thing. He is such a quirky, awkward kind of dude, but like he's awkward but not like off-putting awkward, almost like comical awkward, you
I'm
know
Alex.
He's positive. Ooh, he's got sorry. A positive energy.
He does, he really does.
It goes a long way, man.
Well, I mean, how is he gonna bait people so you can eat them, you know? Like, you catch more flies with honey.
CGI flies with nothing.
So he strikes up a conversation where they're and they hit it off, right? And you could tell, like, you know, he's into women and he thinks this is going kind of his way in that sense. And I think she feels it's going her way in that sense too, you know? So it's just like in my mind, I'm like, bitch, you don't even know what this dude is. Like, just stop talking to him.
And I was thinking the other way around. I was like, dude, you don't even know what this bitch is. She could be into some crazy shit.
That's true, too. There was a small part of me was like, are they two cannibals that just happen to find each other? Is that how it's going to end up, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, like, she's standing there on the bridge feeding random wild fish in the river below. And he like whips out his own little container of fish food. That's all like, look, it just looked really gross and starts like feeding him. And all I was thinking is, that's not fish food.
But even in the way that he was tossing it, dude, it was so funny, man.
Like, he tosses it over his shoulder like it was like salt.
It reminded me of like when Rip Taylor used to like throw the glitter. You know what I'm talking about?
Like in Jackass.
Yeah, exactly like that. Okay, so he scurries off from this meeting with Alex, and he goes over to the pub. Same pub where he met Jed the night before. I think this is the second encounter at the pub.
I mean, he took off. It was like one of those cartoons where like they're like a mile down the street next time you look.
Totally. So they sit down.
Howdy, brother. I was not expecting you for another 13 minutes.
They're talking numbers shop, right?
Hey, guys, you ready to order?
Thank you very much, but he's not hungry. The bill, please.
Fucking Lionel actually has a contract for him to sign.
Have a read of that. Sign and date at the bottom. I trust you, Jed, but I need your full consent.
And he's like, are you kidding me? The Jed's like, what? A contract? I'm going to be dead. What is a contract for? And he was like, hey.
If you change your mind, Jed, I need to protect myself.
And I was like, okay, dude, he's done this before. You know what I mean?
Right. Straight shooter. Just a boilerplate cannibal, you know, contract. Nothing to worry about here.
That just makes me think of Always Sunny when, like, anytime Charlie, like, acted as the lawyer and took him to court and they were fighting Bird the Jew lawyer. Yeah, and, you know, the Jewish lawyer is like, yeah, you know, just standard boilerplate. And then, like, Charlie was just, like, super impressed by that. So he used it throughout the rest of the episode. He's like, you know, boilerplate. And he's like, I don't know about, you know, I'm not a fancy lawyer and I don't have a hot plate or whatever. fuck it, Charlie. Okay, so here's the thing. So they're negotiating terms, which is weird. But then Lionel starts looking off into the distance. And it catches Jed's attention to the point where he like turns to look to see like what the fuck is Lionel looking at? But it was a ruse. What did he do when fucking Jed turned around?
He just roofied the fuck out of him. Like roofied half the table.
Yeah. I mean, it was dripping everywhere, but he totally just spiked his drink. And I'm thinking to myself, it like, all over. Why are you doing that if the dude is already signing the paperwork for you to kill him and eat him?
Well, I mean, now you got the contract. You got to get him to follow through. Like,
yes. Right. So they ditched the bar.
Welcome to the afterlife, brother. Now let's get you reunited with that smoking hot wife of yours.
They go back to his place.
Casa del La.
And he starts giving Jed a tour. And I gotta tell you, there are lots of parts of Lionel's house where I'm like, I think I need that.
Like the photo?
Of his mom? Yes.
You know the photo.
Not because... Okay, hold on. We'll get there in a second. So... He's getting a tour of the house and he's explaining who he kind of is a little bit. He's like,
so you take photos.
Yes, sirree, Bob. Big time hobby of mine alongside the day job. Check it out. See, when my stepdaddy left, my mama encouraged me to pursue photography. She always said I was the artist of the family. And then I guess I found myself walking down the old, life modeling road, and you know, I kind of had a knack for erotica and abstract exoticism, really.
As they're staring at this big ass portrait of this elderly, oversized woman BBW. Laying on her side,
bro. And when you say big, oversized photo, I mean, we're talking like 8 feet by like 4 feet sheet of plywood.
No, that's more like 12 foot by 8 foot, dude. That thing was fucking huge, right? Black and white, like kind of less artistic color. There were color elements of it, right? So
who is she?
My mama.
It's his mom laying on her side, like almost like a mermaid. Butt ass naked.
Total boudoir photo.
Full bush.
Yep.
Big old floppy grandma boobs just hanging down.
Pastrami curtains hanging.
Ugh. And she's wearing this like pink paper crown, or at least he put it on the picture. And then there's like, what
champagne
else is there?
Glass in her hand.
Yep. Did you notice the cake? Did you notice the cake though?
No, I don't think I did.
Bro. As soon as I noticed the cake, I was like, okay, now I understand who this guy is or why he is the way that he is. This is a portrait of his mom, butt-ass naked, laying, holding a champagne flute full of champagne, wearing this crown, all big old smile on her face, full bush, and right next to her is a birthday cake with the numbers 1 and 0 on them. That is his 10th birthday party? That's the picture she's giving him for his 10th birthday?
I missed that.
That's why this dude is fucked up. And then if you look around, he's an artist, right? And he's got some other pictures around. He's got one that's kind of comes into play later where it's just like a canvas of like one tit, like one boob. It's got like a worm coming out of the nipple. Then there's another one of like a vag, like a hairy vag with like legs. I don't know if you saw that one. Mm-mm. He's just got weird shit all through the house, man. On top of like having a bathroom that looks like it came from like the first Saw movie. You know what I mean? Oh, like just grimy, dirty, gross.
You're guaranteed a staph infection.
Totally. Now he's also got a goldfish.
Oh, that goldfish.
He had a little bit of conversation with Alex about owning fish.
They are literally the most low maintenance pet one could have. And freshwater fish are the largest proportion of pets owned across the U.S. And they are proven to lower blood pressure and heart rate, thus relieving stress for maintaining a better quality of life.
Whatever. But at this point, Jed's starting to feel sick, so the only thing he can do is grab the goldfish bowl and throw up in it. And he was like, I'm sorry, dude.
The entire water just is disgusting.
Gray water now.
Oh my God.
And he's like, don't worry. He's like, your fish. And he's like, don't worry about it.
You'll clean it in the morning.
So, yeah, he's not sure, you know, why he's feeling the way he is, but we know why.
Lionel's also been like giving him drinks since he came to the house and stuff. Like he's trying to get him liquored up.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's going to eat him. So, you know,
he wants him to feel no pain. It's got to be a comfortable experience for all parties involved. That's what the contract said.
So now that the roofie is starting to kick in a little bit, he puts him in a chair, straps him down. He's like, all right, you ready to get this party started? Let's go. Let's do this. He grabs a fucking, I think he like even injects him with like a paralytic or something.
Yep.
Yeah, then he grabs some garden shears and I was like, where's that going?
Like he asked the question. He's like, okay, that was step one. We're going to move to step two. And he's like,
what's step three?
He shows him the garden shears. Like, here you go.
And he cuts off one of his fingers and throws it in the pan and immediately starts eating. Well, hold on. He cuts off the finger, then goes to the other room, grabs a hot fucking iron, comes back, cartilizes the wound, bandages it up. Then he starts cooking up the finger, right? And he's cooking it like he would a sausage, man. It's all greasy and like he's running around in the pan, right? Again, it's all kind of like, you know, baked in there, like you can tell, like he doesn't wash it out, you know, kind of like you would with a cast iron skillet. And in the meantime, we see Jed kind of go to the bathroom and he's, I think he like, this is where like he found some pills and he was just trying to kill himself. Cause I think what he realized was, Lionel was just going to like cut limbs off of him little by little and eat him at his own kind of pace. And Jed just wants to be done with this shit, dude. He just wants to be dead.
Yeah, well, like, fucking Lionel, the stellar host that he is, cuts off his finger, eats it, and then goes,
well, I think that's it for this evening. I'll beat.
Yeah. Three drinks, pal. And so, like, Jen's sitting there. Eventually, he wakes up with the fucking throbbing-ass hand, and it's, like, in tons of pain. And that's, I felt, was the catalyst to, like, well, fuck this. Then I'll just take all these pills, like...
Yeah.
This dude's not taking care of me. Like, it hurts.
Totally. Yeah, totally. So he ends up trying to swallow all these pills in a bathroom that he just found. And it was part of me. At first, I was like, is he just trying to get over the pain of his finger? Because, like, you don't even know what you're taking. But then he took all the pills, and I was like, oh, you're trying to kill yourself. That's what's happening.
Trying to get over a different
pain. Got it. Yeah, got it. Okay, so Lionel wakes up, finds Jed in the bathroom, sees the empty bottle of pills, gets super pissed off, puts him back in his room, and then he ends up...
It's like he was cheated on. Like,
he was pretty sad. He was pretty sad. And that point is... that's a good point because he leaves the house. He just leaves Jed sleeping, right?
And but before he leaves the house, though, he's like sitting over him, like all perched over him, and he just starts drooling. Like, literal fucking drool.
I missed that part. I just thought he was weird and he was just sitting there because he had no pants on. I don't think he had any, like, underwear on. I think he was just sitting there like Pooh Bear, you know, just no pants, no nothing. Donald Duck in it. Duck in that pants, right?
No, Donald Duck didn't have
pants. Yeah. Donald Duck in it.
Yeah, dude. But like, there's this one long stream of fucking, and it's straight drool. It's just drool.
So he bounces. He goes to this coffee shop that Alex owns, the girl that he met on the bridge, and like he's having some coffee with her. And this is where he starts to tell her, you know, he starts to confide in her a little bit. He's like, let me ask you, like,
well, it's my roommate. We're friends. And last night we took it to the next level. And after that, I definitely say that we're closer. So there's this undeniable level of spiritual trust and understanding, you see. And I worked so hard to get him to bear his soul to me, and I reciprocated. And after all that was done, we went to bed. And in the morning, I got up and found out that the son of a bitch had almost left me in the middle of the goddamn night.
And you can see, like, the sadness in Alex's face. It just dropped out. She's like, aw, dude, you're gay. Damn it, dude.
Another one?
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe that I got from her. I was like, this is not your first rodeo. But I will say she was a nice person, you know, very clean, suited. You know, she had a nice shop and everything. So it's like, what? I don't know. Whatever. Anyways.
I still was thinking there's creepy here. There's something creepy going down.
Like, with her?
Yeah. There's a backstory we just didn't explore yet.
At this point, because of like how nice she's being, like I didn't get that. I just figured she's just like, I don't know. She just can't seem to find the right guys.
Yeah, they connected on the bridge.
Yeah. So he's inspired to go and because she's like,
I think you should speak to him. Tell him how you really feel. Don't be ashamed of what you are. We all like what we like.
But in the meantime, Jed wakes up. He's still at the house. He realizes that, he might get in trouble for some stuff. So he goes out and he buys a new fish because the fish is dead and cleans up the house a little bit. Like, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know why he's cleaning up. And, you know, he tried to buy the right fish, but he finds out that maybe he got the wrong one. He's like, oh, maybe he won't notice. Like, it was a little weird for sure. Like, I don't know why he was so obsessed with, like, making sure everything was still good, because you're still waiting for this dude to kill you.
Jed gave me the impression of a fucking trained husband, someone who's gonna make sure like everything's taken care of before you get home from work. He's got that like I'm trying to please my wife. I'm gonna please this guy. Like, that was part of what I thought why Lionel was so fucking excited, because he's like, this guy's a rope-a-dope. Like, I got this mug.
Bermuda. Okay, so Lionel comes back and he finds Jed. They have a little bit of a confrontation, right? And Jed's like starting to apologize, and he's like, your fish, I tried to get you a new one, the other one died, and like I tried to clean up a little bit, and I'm sorry about last night. And he even went out and bought him kettle corn. And we didn't talk about this in the beginning, but like Lionel's like always eating kettle corn. I don't know what it is, but he's just eating the kettle corn. So they're looking at, they're kind of talking to each other in the living room, and like they're trying to figure out like what's happening, where's the disconnect. And Jed's telling him like,
honestly, I just thought all of this would have gone down a lot quicker. I kind of just want it over with now.
Oh, you want it to be over with? All right.
Tell me what happened next.
Well, in the spirit of speeding things up, go ahead. Lay out your arm.
Grabs his arm and is like, let's fucking go.
He puts him back in a chair. and he gives him some more paralytic, or at least he was supposed to. But he's still pissed at Jed for doing what he did, so he doesn't give him the paralytic. And he pulls out his arm, and he pulls out this, like, hacksaw or, like, a, I don't know.
Yeah, like a hacksaw. Like a saw that you would use to saw down a tree or something.
And he starts to fucking just cut through Jed's arm.
Shoulder straight through, all the way down.
And at this point, I'm with my cell phone, I'm recording what's on the TV, and I'm like, I'm gonna post this on Instagram. This is fucking awesome, dude. And he's like pleading with Lino, and he's like, I'm not supposed to feel this, and I feel every fucking part of it, like, please stop. And Lino's just like fucking getting in there, dude.
And then he goes and grabs a bunch of pills and crushes them up and throws them inside some juice and in a champagne flute and tries to, like, chug it down his throat. Like,
well, he's clearly still mad at him for what happened the night before, you know?
Of course, because he's got fucking injectable shit that he could go ahead and hook Jed up with. But instead, he's like, let me crush up some pills for you and wait till that digests. You see the other movie that the director did? Hosts?
No.
It's another, the same director's.
Nice.
And it stars Neil Ward. It's The Man in the Lock, too.
Nice. Oh, I did see that there was a, I don't know if it was that one. There was another one where all of them are kind of in. The Code is a short. Yeah, so they're not unfamiliar with working with each other. And honestly, this short came out in 2019. This movie's from 2022. So, like, now that you know that they have some history with each other, you can see how, like, their dynamics play out in this movie when it's just the two of them, because it works so well.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
All right. So, Lionel rips the fuck out of his arm off of his torso or whatever, and immediately, like, throws it. Like, he starts cutting slices off of it, right?
It's like an egg timer.
Well, yeah, but he also cut, like, a little steak off or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he throws it on the grill, man. And I'm telling you, you got to see this movie for yourself, because his facial features are just, they fucking sell it. The way he's so excited about grilling up this meat right now. Pours himself some champagne. He cleans off his table. Like, this is a treat for him for sure. He's enjoying it like a food snob would. He's just like,
like some foie gras, like 100% super fancy. Yeah, dude, yeah. It's like the best.
I think he even he says at one point he's eating, and then, like, he stops and he looks over at Jen. He's like,
well, fuck me, you taste great.
I just takes a swig of the champagne, man. So good. Okay, here's the thing though. Him cutting off his arm,
Jed was yelling,
caused a lot of noise.
Oof.
Lionel's got neighbors. So what do neighbors do when it's fucking too loud?
Call the fucking bill.
They call the cops.
Especially in these flats in England where you're, like, sit always on top of someone. There's always someone right there, like, connected to your house. Like our old neighbor banging on the fucking floorboards at 2 a.m, knocking you out of bed.
Well, to be fair, I was hammering picture frames up on the wall at 2 a.m, so I just didn't know the walls were connected. That's my bad. My bad, guy.
That's what you're hammering on the wall.
So the cops, we do see the cops get called, but they don't come out right away, or at least they don't show up to the house right away. What we see is Lionel, like, you know, kind of coming down off his food high. We look across the table. Jed is just, like, laid the fuck out. And then we start seeing Lionel, like, talking to his mom. This picture that's on the wall, right? She's got this big, like, yellow crown. Almost like the crown the monster wears in Where the Wild Things Are. If you've ever read that book or seen that cover. It's like that kind of crown, you know?
What? It's a Christmas crown, it looks like. It's the type that you get from a Christmas cracker in England. I don't know if you're familiar with Christmas crackers.
Nah.
They look like big, like, candies. Like, they're with the twist in the middle, you know? Like, so, like, you got two knobs on the side. You pull the sides, and then it creates, like, a pop. And inside will be, like, some prizes and a paper crown. Mm. And that's what everyone at the table will eat. for Christmas or whatever.
Sorry, bro.
Yeah, whatever. Different cultures have different.
I'm American. We have Peking duck on Christmas Day.
Christmas Eve.
But anyways, so he's standing in front of this photo, and like his demeanor changes. He gets a little bit like, not depressed or, but like it changes a little bit, almost like shame in front of his mom.
Yeah.
To the point where he starts getting naked in front of the photo and kind of like almost like he's like holding himself a little bit. Like he's ashamed.
I thought he was going to jerk off.
I 100% did too, dude. I was sitting there and I was like, please don't do what I think you're about to do. Please don't fucking do it. My wife is watching. Come on, dude. That's going to be gross. How the fuck does one jack off to a naked photo of their mom, dude? It's gross.
I mean, Norman Bates vibe for sure. For sure.
He didn't do it though. He didn't do it. No, so no. We're all good, you know, but dodge the bullet for sure, man. Cause that's totally what I thought was going to happen.
So did Jenny.
But this is also where we see that this dude's got a ton of scars all over his body, lots of scar tissue, right? So you start to get the impression that like he might've lived a hard life, beat, whipped, burnt. I mean, this is the gift his mom gave him for his 10th birthday. So, like, it's a little weird.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I think shame is the emotion that he's feeling in front of this photo for what he's done or what he does. And then it cuts to him in the bathroom, kind of, like, holding himself, crying a little bit. But not for long because he gets distracted.
Knock, knock, knock.
Someone's at the door.
This is the police. Can you open up, please? Who's
that? It's always the police.
Hopo!
So the cops show up and they're like...
Are you Mr. Lionel Flack, sir?
Come again?
Are you Lionel Flack?
Yes, ma'am. What can I do for you?
Would you mind if we come in for a moment?
We are sorry to be bothering you so late, sir, but we've been anonymously alerted of calls for concern regarding a noise complaint.
What?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Huh?
He was pretending that he was hard of hearing. And because his excuse was...
I was about to turn in for the night. But I did watch a movie earlier, and I'm hard of hearing, see, so... That's probably what it was.
And the cops are like...
Fair enough.
They're like, do you live here by yourself? And he's like, yeah. And they're like, there's nobody else here? And he's like, no. And they're like, okay.
And then the girl's like,
can I use your loo?
What's that now?
The bathroom.
Dude.
Like, what the fuck would possess you to want to use that bathroom over any shithole fucking Waffle House bathroom or whatever the fuck you're going to come across on the road?
It's because,
anywhere.
It's because there's a point in which they come into the house to look around just to, you know, do their due diligence. And they're starting to get a feel for this house. So when she's like, can I use your bathroom? To me, immediately that was, I'm going to go snoop and look around because I don't trust anything you're telling me anymore. And they cut to her in the bathroom and she's in the mirror and she's like fixing her face. And you can see that he had hid Jed in the bathtub and you can see him in the mirror. And she does this thing where she stops and she's staring and she's realizing what she's seen. And we realize that she realizes that she sees this body in the tub. And then it cuts to her fixing her hair and then walking out. It's like, oh, she didn't see that shit at all. She was just staring at herself.
Yeah. She's like, I got a fucking zit. God damn it.
But in the meantime,
breakout.
The other cop, the male cop, is with Lionel. And he's like, so what do you do? Who, like, tell me a little bit. You know, he's just trying to make friends with the dude. And, you know, Lionel's like trying to lie his way out of it or whatever. But then the cop sees that he's got kind of some food out on the table. And he's like, oh, you cook? What do you do? And he's like, oh, you know, I dabble, blah, blah, blah. And so he goes, you want to try it? And the cop's like, yeah. And he tells him,
that is a mild veal with a raspberry cooler straight from the captain's quarters of the Kutti Sark.
And I'm like, I don't know what half that shit means, but he's making it sound like it's some bomb shit. And like the dumbass cop, I'm falling for it. I'm like, oh, that does sound pretty good, you know? So he gets the cop to sit down and he gets the cop to eat it. And they do this like slow motion thing where like the cop puts it in his mouth, you know, and like you can see him like bite it off the fork. And then he's just like, he's doing the same thing Lionel was doing. Which is like,
oh, it's a pretty tasty burger.
So good. You know,
is that Hawaiian burger joint?
Yeah. So his partner comes out of the bathroom. She's like,
fuck me, come on, Saul.
He's like, dude,
is the best veal I have ever tasted. Honestly, you have to try it.
Yeah, you gotta try it.
Yeah, she's like, no. But I think she does end up picking it up and she does try it. And she's like, got this worried. Yeah, she's got this worried look on her face. She's like,
this is not veal.
And she turns to Neil, she turns to Lionel. Do you remember what she says?
This is Michelin star veal.
And he's like, oh, thank you. And she's like,
what do you do, Mr. Flake? Are you a chef?
It's Flack, and I own a boat and company.
And she's like, okay, well, you know, cool, man. Thanks for the food. Sorry we bothered you. Like, thank we're going to get out. Time, so they leave. And it's about this time that Jed's starting to wake up. And this, I'm telling you, man, like, fuck, you guys got to go watch this movie because I'm underselling it. This scene where he's like pulling the shower curtain back from the tub, where he's just laying there in this hospital gown, all bloody. And like the bathroom is so fucking dirty. Like the ambiance of the scene, that whoever did like the set dressing, dude, fucking kudos, man, because it came out really, really clean.
Yeah. Oh, well, the opposite of clean. But it looks really good.
Yeah, yes. In America, because I'm hoping people around the world are still listening, when we say clean, we mean like nice, good, yes. You know, came out proper, clean. So Lionel comes to meet him, brings him some whiskey and some champagne glasses, of course. And they're just kind of, you know, going over their what's been transpiring, and they're starting to kind of build a connection again. And they start to like have more of a friendly conversation, and Lionel's starting to confide in him. And like,
is there a Mrs. Flack in the running?
I barely introduced myself to the last one. She lost her head and went cold on me.
So Jed's like, dude, you're a good looking dude. Like,
go and get your camera for me.
Huh?
I'm gonna find you a girl.
It's this weird, like, montage. Yeah. A fucking Lionel coming in with different outfits, but never wearing any bottoms. Yeah, no bottoms. Just
that's his brand, yo.
Oh my god, dude. So,
but they're chumming it up. They're chumming it up. They even take like a selfie. Like, they're bonded.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And Lionel's loving where it's going, right? And he takes the selfie picture because it's one of those Polaroids that just like, it's a small, like a, it's a Polaroid.
Instant
right?
camera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he takes it and he puts it in the picture frame where his mom's picture is. And he gets a phone call. And the phone call is from Alex at the coffee shop.
So, did you tell him?
Did I tell who what?
Your boyfriend. Did you tell him how you feel about him?
And he's like,
Alex, I'm not gay.
What the fuck? Yeah. You're gay. And he's like, I'm not gay. What are you talking about? And she's like, oh, well, like the level of conversation we had, she's like, it sounded like you were gay. He's like, dude, I'm not gay. And she's like, well, if that's the case, then like,
can I take you out for dinner tonight?
He's like, yeah. Oh.
What? Like a date?
Yeah, Lionel, like a date.
Well, I'll be damned. Yeah, how's about 6 p.m. tonight at Gaiman's Lair?
That sounds perfect.
So, dinner plans are set. He's made friends with Jed. Jed is like, we are losing Jed piece by piece, right?
Literally.
First we lost a finger. Now we lost a whole fucking arm. And instead of doing anything else, Lionel invites Jed to come out with him.
Where are we going?
Now, where does he go? Where do they go?
Get in the chair.
You remember?
No. I don't remember.
They go to, like, the lake because Lionel's, like, taking some special needs people out on some boats. Yes. And they're not even boats, right? Because he told the cops, I own a boat company. They are two inflatables.
Like dinghy.
Not even that, dude. One's a giant, like, flamingo floaty, and the other one's like a duck. And him and Jed are in the duck, and then the special needs people are in the flamingo. And, like, he's just out there chilling with them, dude. He's trying to get them, like, hey, what do you do when there's an emergency? And he's, like, trying to get them to blow the whistles. I don't know. It's a funny scene.
Yeah.
So they're out there on the water. They're chilling. You know, they're kind of getting into a little bit of an argument. I think, why are they arguing in the boats? I don't remember.
Because fucking Lionel pulls out a gun and shoots the raft and, like, for the disabled people and, like, leaves them to drown in the river.
But he did, like, that as a result of them getting into an argument.
I thought that was the argument.
Why would he just stand up and do that? No, Jed said something to Lionel.
What?
Because you don't know what you have until it's actually gone.
Jed, you've got me.
Yeah, great.
And then Lionel stood up and was like, fuck that, I'm not going to take this shit. And, like, he pulled out a pistol and he's like, what the fuck are you doing with that? And he's like,
boys and girls, listen up!
Fuck, Lionel, what the fuck?
Survival 101!
Then he fucking shoots the boat with the disabled people on it. And, like, they're just sinking and they're blowing their whistles. I was like, at least they learned.
Yeah, it was just like a random scene of man who's like, fuck it, I'm just doing what I want to do.
Okay, so as they're arguing on the boat, Jed falls over into the water, and we have this, like, dramatic kind of, like, him meeting Olivia in the water kind of artistic scene. You've seen the scene a bunch of times in a bunch of different movies. You know what I'm talking about. But she swims up to him, and she puts his heart back in that place from which he ripped it out from. So to me, this is, like, her giving him permission to, like, live. Yeah, exactly. Like, move on already. Like, this thing you're trying to do is not happening. And that's because you were in a dark place. You felt incomplete. So I'm going to give you permission to move on and help you feel complete again. And, like, just stop this shit and, like, move on.
Of course, this is while he's underwater with the freshly amputated arm, flailing around trying to get the fuck out.
Yeah, and then she just looks over at him. She's like,
wake up.
And, like, he wakes up, but it's like cut to him on land, and, like, he's throwing up water, and, like, you know, he's kind of coming back to life here.
Yep.
So they're back at the house. They start arguing again, especially considering that Lionel shot the boat and was trying to drown the mental health patients, and he's like,
that was cruel.
What's that now?
I said you were fucking cruel.
Oh, I was never gonna kill them, Jed.
Calm down.
I was just gonna eat a little bit, perform a couple circumcisions, sniff the tip.
So now Jed's frustrated with Lionel, right?
No.
And he's like,
I am done, Lionel. I'm out. I'm going home.
And Lionel's like, nah, dude.
You are bound by a contract.
Fuck your contract!
This is what you signed up for. And he's like, no. So then he starts, you know, calling Lionel names. You're
a sad, scared, lonely little boy who just wants his fucking mummy.
And he pisses him off.
Fucking coward!
He punches him right in the fucking mouth, dude. I was like, oh, good for him. But then, as soon as he gets him to the ground, he injects him with, like, this, like, secret of the ooze, like, green... Like,
oh, we're gonna step it up now.
Yeah, 100%.
Some cultures believe torturing the animal alive improves the taste and the quality of the meat. That's why today I'm gonna give you some new.
It's that new. Puts it in him, and he's telling him,
although you won't be able to move an inch, the anesthetic properties are not so great. You are gonna feel every last fucking bit of this.
And I was like, oh shit, let's go. Whoa, Lionel,
you asshole, like, why you gotta go that way now?
And already the movie is a little, you know, intense. You know, there's the, they don't hold back on, like, the gore stuff, especially with the ripping of the arm off the shoulder. Oh my god, that's so good.
Or just the making stakes later.
Yeah, it's true too. So he injects him with the secret of the ooze, and then he starts to like ground and pound him, right? But did you notice the way that he punches Jed in the face?
It's like flat fist. Like he's smacking like him in the nose.
He doesn't know how to hit somebody. That's the impression that I got. But this
I didn't pick up on that. But
yeah. Well, again, it just made me feel like maybe his mom beat the shit out of him all the time, and that's how she hit him. That's what I picked up from it. But I wasn't also trying to, like, you know, read too much into it. So now that he's got him on the ground, he's paralytic. He busts out the carving knife. Now, I'll tell you, the last time I saw somebody use a carving knife in something, I think it was maybe Thanksgiving, but before that was the Evil Dead remake, and that shit was gruesome, and this shit was gruesome too, man.
Yeah, yeah.
He cut off both his legs.
He's like, you want light meat or dark meat? Fuck it. We're getting both.
You're getting red meat.
That's right.
But it's that thing almost like in the Evil Dead remake where, like, as he's sawing through the fucking flesh and bone, all the blood is just, like, splashing up into his face. So it's just, like, raining from the bottom up on this dude, and he's just dripping blood the entire time. And I was like, yeah, I kind of like this movie, man.
Facts.
Lionel takes the legs into the kitchen, and he's feeling a little bit frustrated, and he starts to lose his shit. And he picks up one of the legs. And I got to say, dude, the practical effects, these limbs look so fucking real. They were so good, dude. But he just starts, like, beating up his kitchen with one of the legs, and as a result, blood is just flying fucking everywhere. He's literally painting the room red with this leg, but he's letting out frustration because he thought he made a friend and he didn't, and you know, he's having to beef up his speed up his process, and it's out of position for him, and you know, he's got this thing going with the girl, and it's just, he's in a weird place. So he takes out his frustrations. So when he's done, what does he hear?
Was it the banging at the door?
Nope, it was the phone ringing.
Oh, yeah!
It was Alex.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I'm really looking forward to dinner, and yeah, I love that.
Fucking hell, you fucking dickhead!
I'm really sorry that I got the wrong end of the stick. I'm such an idiot sometimes. Actually, all the time, but yeah, you'll find that out on your own. Anyway, yeah, I'll see you tonight at 6. Yeah, really looking forward to it. I already said that, but okay. Yeah, bye. See you.
So he's like,
fuck!
So he's to jump in the shower, and he is literally red, dude. He's just red top to bottom. But he manages to clean himself up.
Poor guy. He had his date attire already on. He had to, like...
That's
Watch.
Right. He has had to change. So he gets to the restaurant.
So sorry I'm late. So
and
sorry.
He's late, you know, but they're hitting it off. He orders a drink. They order some food. And like, they're just, you know, making small chit chat. And she looks over to him. She's like,
"You went to anything weird?"
And he's like,
"Sexual aura."
Oh, no.
So to make light of the situation, she mentions how she's like into something weird. I don't know, something light.
As an example, when I go to the supermarket, I get this urge to take things off the shelf and put them in other people's baskets. I find it really hilarious.
He tried to reciprocate, but also not like let it out that like he's a fucking psychopath cannibal, you know?
I like to peel soap.
And they both answer it a little bit, and then they move on, and then he's watching her eat, and he's looking at her fingers, and that's when he's like,
I like skin.
Crispy chicken skin? I know what you mean. I absolutely love chicken skin. Anyone that doesn't like crispy chicken skin is a weirdo.
No. I like your skin. I want to eat your skin.
But he realizes in the moment that he freaked her out.
You just... Excuse me for 1 minute.
And he's like, I fucking blew it, man. I blew it. Now he's getting nervous because he knows he fucked up. And he's starting to twitch. And there's a knife on the table. Well, he picks it up by the handle, right? And he's, you know, that thing where like the blade is hanging out like kind of by his pinky. And he's angrily walking to the women's bathroom. Camera's following him. He's passing all these people. Nobody sees this dude, all pissed off, walking down to the girls' bathroom with a knife in his hand. But okay, sure. And he walks right into the bathroom and he finds her there. And she's just standing there looking at him like, almost like, what are you doing in the bathroom? But like, kind of pleasantly surprised to see him.
Yeah, like, hey, you naughty fucking boy.
And then he immediately walks up to her and just stabs her like 4 or 5 times, drops the body, and fucking starts walking out all angry and pissed. And on his way out, he grabs a lamp off the desk. Now, I gotta say, we haven't talked about this, but this dude is weird about lamps. Like, he just loves lamps for whatever reason. He's got a room in the house that's just full of lamps. And I don't mean like on display. I mean like he's just throwing them in there and they've piled up at the doorway because there's so many lamps in that room. I don't know what it is about lamps.
It looks like a weird art installation where someone just bought a bunch of lamps and haphazardly plugged them in a room. And it was weird.
There you go. I love lamp.
I do.
I love lamp. So he's walking down the street. He's super pissed. He sheds his jacket. You know, he ditches the knife. He's still got the lamp in his hand. And then this is where he rips his wig off. And this is where we find out that it's a wig. And I was a little sad because, like, the hair was dope. And I was hoping it was his. But whatevs.
Bro, he looked like he had the Friar Tuck haircut. You know, like, he shaved his head all weird, but left, like... Jew curls on the side, like things were just, and then in the very, very back and the bottom, he had like skullet. Oh,
totally.
But I felt like that's the type of hair you have to grow to make the wig sellable.
Mm.
Go ahead.
He makes it back to the house. He's, you know, pissed off and nervous. He knows someone's coming for him now because he just did this thing in public. And as soon as he gets to the house, he starts to hear knocking at the door.
Who is it?
So he scrambles, right? And he knows it's the cops. So what he does is he grabs one of the legs and he puts blood all over one of his paintings. He puts on a smock. He puts blood all over himself. He makes it look like he's painting this picture. And that's the paint, right? Good selling point. Then the cops. He opens the door to the cops.
What can I do for you two officers?
Mary Huggins. AKA downstairs.
What about her?
Reported missing.
Now remember, they thought it was the neighbor that made the noise complaint first, and now she's missing. So to me, it was insinuated that like he murdered her.
Which, there is a room of storage that contains a bunch of bodies, and
That's what he did with Jed, right? Because the cops were there, so he's like, fuck, what am I going to do with this guy who's still paralyzed? So he rolls him into a freezer. And there's other bodies in there.
So here I am thinking that decapitated body, was that the neighbor?
We don't know. They did show the head for the body in the fridge at a certain point, but we don't know because to me it was insinuated that the neighbor called the cop on the noise complaint when he was ripping his arm off of his shoulder. And then he killed her as a result of that. And now they're there because she's been missing for a couple of days. That was the impression that I got.
Okay, I can see that.
But he throws Jed into the freezer, and what does Jed find while he's in the freezer?
Lionel.
That's right. He finds Lionel Flack, the real Lionel Flack.
Okay, so now here's where I'm having an issue. Whose picture is that over the fucking mantle? If the real Lionel is dead in the bath or in the freezer, like, did he assume Lionel's life and is living in Lionel's apartment? Of all this fucked upness.
Good question.
I don't know the answer.
I don't think there is an answer, right? So we can't answer it. But I believe that whoever this dude is, Lionel Flack was just one of his victims and he just assumed the name moving forward. Yeah. But this guy has always been who he is. And that is his mom. That's his house. That's his upbringing. That's
okay.
There's too much of an emotional connection in that scene where he got naked in front of the picture for me to believe that that is not his mom.
I mean, unless he's just like, that's a fine piece.
Even then, that's not the vibe I was getting from him.
Let me look at the big uns. Get me some fix uns.
Anyways, so Lionel, the fake Lionel, the Lionel we know, ends up getting the cops out of the house, but they only make it halfway down the road until they get a call saying, hey.
Eyewitness reported the suspect turned into Nielsen Street on foot, whereby a blonde wig and tweed suit jacket were recovered. Officers on the scene are scanning the CCTV of the restaurant to get a better idea of the suspect's whereabouts. The suspect is believed to be American.
They were talking with him and he lost the American accent and then put it back on. So they're a little sketchy of him now.
What
and so
is it?
They come back and they're like,
didn't you have an American accent?
What's that now?
Where were you between 6 and 7 this evening?
Lionel starts to do that thing that he did with Jed when they were in the pub, and he's looking past the police at something down the road. Mm-hmm. And
what's
he's
that
like,
over your shoulder?
His eyes start to twitch a little bit, and both cops are like, what the fuck is this dude looking at? And they both turn around, and it cuts to black. So to me, insinuating, he got the drop on both these cops.
Well, he was also holding two cleavers, one in each hand. When
yeah,
he
picked,
the door.
Yeah, that's right. He picked them up right before he opened the door a second time.
Yeah.
So now we cut back to Jed, who's still in the freezer, and he can hear the cops outside. And he's like, hey, come help me. Hello. And the cops are talking through him through the door, and they're like,
hello, this is the police. Who is that?
Yes, yes, please. My name is Jed Freeman. I've been taken prisoner, and he won't let me go. Please, he's gonna kill me! Please help me!
Don't worry, sir. The situation is now under control. You are no longer at risk.
Trying like to get the cops to come into the through the door, but the cops are like,
now, for both mine and your personal safety, I need to firstly ask if there is anybody else in the room with you.
No! No!
And when they open the door, who is it?
Hello, Governor!
Ah! It's fucking Lionel, whoever he is.
Yeah. He got the drop on the cops, man. So he's just coming in there to fuck with them and be like, ah, you thought I was going to save you. Ah, sorry. You don't
have to do this, tricked you. Like my daughter would say.
That's funny. So he wheels him out to the living room, puts him at the table, and then like starts to fuck with him. Right. But I don't think he's like trying to fuck with him per se. I don't think Lionel's like, oh, let me fuck around with this dude. I think Lionel's starting to fucking lose it.
Lose it. Yeah.
Because now he's doing this thing where like it's almost like Fight Club-esque where the narrator is talking to Tyler Durden. But we don't realize it in the moment, except here we do, because it's Lionel talking to Lionel, the cop wearing a hat, acting as a cop, talking to Lionel. So it keeps cutting back and forth. It's a very creative,
really well edited. Yeah, it was really well directed and edited.
I like when movies do that. It happens more often, I've noticed lately, but when you do it well, it works. I like it. It really helps deliver the psychotic breakdown this person is experiencing, because you see the dichotomy between like someone, like between the two people that are talking with each other, even though it's the same person, of like, this dude is like super all together and being like, reasonable. And then the other version of him is just like total fucking mental breakdown. It's dope. So Jed is like, what the fuck is happening with this guy, you know? And he's just watching him break down. And, you know, Lionel's just like, you know, we were friends and, you know, I don't know what to do. And so now Lionel is sitting at one end of the table. Jed is at the other end of the table. Lionel he's holding a knife in his hands and he's trying to kind of, I think, like, you know, come to terms with being friends with Jed and trying to find like forgiveness. Now, remember, Jed's only got one arm left at this point. He lost his arm. He lost both of his legs. Like, he is running low on limbs. So there's really no good way for him to defend himself.
So Lloyd presents a box to Jed, and when he opens the box, inside the box is a gun. So he then has Jed like grab the gun, and then Jed goes to pull the trigger, finds out it's not loaded. now Lionel's got his fingerprints on a weapon and cops that are dead. So he's like, okay, now I can kind of shift this around. And
forgot
and,
about that part.
Yeah, that's the whole argument with the cops, is he's like trying to play out how it's going to be. And then Jed looks at him, he goes,
it's not going to work. Look at me.
That's then when Lionel sits down at the other end of the table and they come to an agreement, like, you know what?
We just sit and eat. Please.
Jed then smashes his head on the table, remembering that there's a loose board, which then jams the knife straight up into Lionel's head, and Lionel's done.
That's it.
That's it.
Jed tries to crawl his way out of the house, right? Because he's got no limbs.
He's got a will to live. He has new, fucking renewed will to live.
Yes.
And while he's like trying to crawl to the door, he realizes like I can reach the handle, but I can't open the door and reach the handle at the same time. Like I've got one arm, no legs. Like it's all I can do. And you can hear the cops, you know, sirens wailing in the distance, and you know you can tell the cops are the cavalry's coming.
Cut to black, roll credits.
There it is.
I thought this movie was fucking great, dude.
Oh, absolutely.
It's so much fun.
When you first sent me the clip to this, I immediately sent you a YouTube clip. Do you remember what that was?
Mm-mm.
It was a scene from the British show that I always like reference randomly, the IT Crowd.
Oh, that's right.
The episode Moss and the German. And that was a parody of what this movie was based on.
Oh, really? The movie, well, because there's a true story, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a true story. Armin Meus. Yeah, it's spelled like M-E-I-W-E-S, but the actual German enunciation is Meus. He was a former computer repair technician. And he basically put an ad online back in 2001 looking for a voluntary victim so that he can like cannibalize him. And some dude took him up on it. And in fact, took him up on it. And this guy, Armin, I guess they severed the guy's penis, sat down together to eat the penis. And then afterwards, he murdered him and continued to eat about something estimated like 20 to 40 kilograms of flesh over the course of a year until he was finally caught. And he was caught because he put another ad out looking for another victim.
Nice.
Like my supply's getting low. I need to re-up.
Now I'm American, so we're going to have to figure out the translation between kilograms and pounds. So how many kilograms was it?
So 2.2. pounds per kilogram. So if it's 40, you're talking what, 88
pounds?
It's a lot of fucking meat.
That's a lot of jerky.
It's a lot of fucking meat. And they say that he got the idea from the old fairy tale Hansel and Gretel.
Oh, interesting.
You know where the old lady eats the kids?
Oh, I'm familiar. Yeah, there was who did that? There was an adult version of that. I think it was an M. Night Shyamalan movie. Damn, what was it called?
They did Grimm's, the Grimm Brother fairy tale.
No.
They also did a movie called Cannibal, and it was a direct-to-video horror film that is directly supposed to be based off of the case.
The Visit. That's what it's called.
Your Visit.
Two grandkids go to like visit their grandmother, but she's like not all there. It's actually pretty good from what I remember, which is funny because I was talking with a coworker of mine today about Shyamalan movies. And he watched The Trap, which is the new one.
Mm.
And he said it was pretty good.
Oh, that's the one where they go to a concert and like something with Josh Hartnett goes down. Yeah.
Yeah. So my coworker was telling me that it's not a spoiler alert, but with Trap, it's not your traditional Shyamalan like twist. It's more of like a reveal. So because it's changed up a little bit, he says it was good. So yeah, check it out.
I'm down.
Yeah. I'm down. All right, dude. Let's get the fuck out of here.
I'm hungry.
It's time to go. Sleepy times.
All right, man.
We'll see you on the next one. Make sure you follow at me and City Horror on Instagram. Email the show, mutantcityhorror@gmail.com, or you can email direct, paul@mutantcityhorror.com. And yeah, that's it, man. We'll see you on the next one. Peace out, weirdos.
Late.
Okay, whatever. I'll start it over.
You're gonna be one crispy little piece of shit.